It's the Personal Edge Fitness Show, a guide to improved health and fitness. You deserve a successful lifestyle, and Garrett Williamson will show you how, dispelling the myths of fitness, nutrition, and health, because you deserve to live well. Now, the guide for your journey, your host, Garrett Williamson.
Hey, welcome to the show. So glad to have you. So glad y'all are listening in. I am Garrett Williamson. And actually, what I'm going to do is I'm going to dive headfirst into this, talk a little bit about the promo, if you've heard it. I made some pretty incredible claims, and I want to talk about that, get into that right off the bat. But before we do that, I want to tell you how to contact the show if you have any questions or comments. You can reach us at 251-278-3343. That's 251-278-EDGE, E-D-G-E. And contact us there. That's a voicemail, but we'll definitely be checking those messages. Please leave your name, where you're calling from, and your comment or questions, and we'll look forward to get back in touch with you. You can also contact me through email at Garrett, G-A-R-R-E-T-T, at personaledgefitness.com. Again, that's Garrett at personaledgefitness.com. You can reach us via Facebook or online at Personal Edge Fitness. Online, our website is personaledgefitness.com. Or hit me up on Twitter at Team PE. That's Team PE. Again, welcome and appreciate you joining us. Now, I made some really bold claims in my promo. In fact, I thought it was pretty shocking. As a matter of fact, Charlie, if you wouldn't mind, play the promo for me, please, sir.
Aging is a lie. Hey, this is Garrett Williamson. After 28 years as a personal trainer, let me tell you, I've seen it all, and there are a lot of lies. It's because of these lies attaining true wellness seems confusing and difficult. You need to understand the truth. This is the passion that drives the Personal Edge Fitness radio show, where I expose the myths and share with you the stream of science that leads to the fountain of youth. Tune into the Personal Edge Fitness radio show Tuesdays at 6 on FM Talk 106.5, because your health deserves the best.
Thank you, pal. I appreciate it. Now that's the beginning of that is a pretty bold claim there. Aging is a lie. And I say that there are a lot of lies out there in the business that I've been involved in for 28 years. Well, you know, you hear these things. You hear these types of promos for different shows, and they seem like some outrageous claims, and you tune into the show to hear about these outrageous claims, and people pretty well dance around and kind of avoid them. They're what my mother would call a GAD, a get attention device. Well, if you're listening because of the promo, evidently it worked, but I'm not going to dance around. In fact, I'm not going to dodge them whatsoever. Instead, I'm going to confront them right now. I'm going to go ahead and give you my top 10 lies of health and fitness. Here we go with number one, time of working out. The idea that you have to work out for a long time, that's a lie. That's an absolute lie. Number two, the idea that weight is a measurement of fitness. Never has been. As far as I'm concerned, never will be. Well, weight as a measurement of fitness is definitely a lie. And the idea number three, that muscle bound is a thing. That's absolutely ridiculous. It's a lie also. Number four, there are special types of fat. Belly fat, hard fat, cellulite. That's wrong. That's not true whatsoever. Number five, I save for, it's sort of like five golden rings. You know, it's kind of a big part in that song. Number five is a big one. It happens to be the biggest lie in nutrition, and that is the ridiculous idea that there is something called good food and bad food. That is a huge lie, and it's probably causing more obesity than it ever helped. Number six, the idea that the number one killer in the world is heart disease. It's not true. Number seven, that the ridiculous idea, the ridiculous fact that you lose your balance as time passes on the calendar. You lose your balance as you age. Not true whatsoever. Number eight, there is not something that you can eat or drink that wards off fat. That's a lie. Number nine, it's probably the premise of the show, I would say, and the background of everything that I do. And that is, folks, the ridiculous concept that we deteriorate simply because time passes on a calendar is a lie. Aging is a lie. And number 10 is something we're going to cover today. And this is going to sound rather ridiculous, but believe it or not, we are not all after something different. When you get involved in a health or fitness program, we are actually all looking for the same thing. And we're going to cover that today. We're going to talk about that. But why are there these lies? Why are there all these myths in health, fitness, and nutrition? Kind of the premise of why I have this show. Well, the reason for these lies are, number one, is misrepresentation of facts. Now, what I mean by that is that years ago when I first started training, started getting involved in this, and actually this particular myth started back in the probably late 70s, early 80s, where that was that, believe it or not, Olympic lifting was dangerous and nobody should be doing it. It was hurting people. It was bad for you. Well, that was a misrepresentation. And I'm not blaming any particular professional about this particular myth that we had to battle through in the 80s and 90s as fitness instructors. But the reason that that happened was people were doing Olympic lifting as early as the late 50s and did it prominently through the 60s. It's fantastic functional training as long as you do it correctly. And what happened was as it got popular, people started watching individuals doing it and then tried to do it themselves and were doing it wrong. And so individuals, fitness enthusiasts, ended up seeing physicians, seeing different physicians, orthopedic surgeons mostly, and were coming with these injuries. And when the physician would ask them, well, what were you doing, what have you, it happened to be a lot of Olympic lifting that was causing this. Well, if I were in their shoes, I would do the same thing that your mother would tell you. You know, Mom, it hurts when I do this. And your mother would turn around and tell you, well, stop doing that. And that's exactly what started happening. Well, my physician told me not to do this. No offense to physicians whatsoever. I come from a medical family. My brother's a physician. My father was a physician. They were trying to keep people from hurting themselves, but it developed an idea that Olympic lifting was dangerous. Well, that wasn't true. That's a misrepresentation of facts. The idea that you've heard that some exercises produce longer, leaner muscles. Well, for a muscle to become longer, the two joints have to move apart farther, which means if I exercise in this particular modality, then I get taller. And if anybody's seen me in person, evidently I don't know what that exercise is. That's for sure. So anyway, so misrepresentation of facts is also facts. Number two on the reason for these lies is their lack of knowledge or experience of the professional that's giving the advice. They may have picked it up somewhere on the back of a cereal box or what have you, and they're repeating what they've heard on the media or maybe you've seen on a TV show. And number three reason for these lies is follow the money, folks. There's a lot of money in good food, bad food. There's a lot of money in the lie of aging. And believe it or not, there's a lot of money in what we're talking about today, which is all that we're not really all looking for something different. We're actually looking for the same thing. And the reason I'm doing this show, and what drives me, believe it or not, is the idea that aging is a lie. The idea that we deteriorate as time passes on the calendar. The idea that all of these lies that I've heard told you about, all these myths that are out there, I hear all the time. And if I don't pick up another client because of the show, but I'm able to help people understand the difference, clear out the confusion of health, fitness, and nutrition by dispelling these myths, then while I will do or complete what evidently I feel like I've been put on this earth to do. I have a lot of clients come in that are misinformed, that repeat these things to me, and I want to make sure you don't run into that also. Okay, well, actually, probably should get into why do I feel like I can tell you about this? Why do I think I can talk about this? Well, basically, who am I? My name's Garrett Williamson. I'm a host of this show, and I'm hosting the Personalized Fitness Radio Show, and that's about all you know about me. So probably need to get into a little more description and answer the question that one of my favorite clients ever asked me and tell you who I am. Again, real quick, just let you know how to get in touch with us. Again, you can call us at 251-278-3343. That's 251-278-EDGE. Garrett at personaledgefitness.com or hit me up on Twitter at TeamPE. Now, when you get back from this break, I'm going to tell you who's talking to you, tell you why I think I know what I'm talking about, and we're actually going to dive headfirst into one of these lies and why I think that it's so important for all of us to get into. Come back and listen up.
Welcome back to the Personal Edge Fitness Show, helping you on the road to a healthy lifestyle. Here now, Garrett Williamson.
Okay, welcome back, everybody. I'm glad you stuck around. I am Garrett Williamson, and like I said in the first segment, I want to know who this guy is. Now, years ago, in I think it was 99, I had a client come in, and he asked me, what I think was the best question I've ever had a client ask me when they started to work out with us. This person knew me. He knew who I was. He knew my family. He had been referred by another client. He knew some of my clients. He set an appointment, came in, and sat down in my office. So we felt like we were at least somewhat familiar. He sat in his chair, crossed his arms across his chest, leaned back, and said, "What qualifies you to work with me?" And I sat there for a minute, then I started thanking him profusely. I think that everybody should ask that of their trainer. I think that everybody should ask that with anybody that's going to be working on their body. So who am I? Well, let's start with my education. I have a bachelor's degree in exercise science. I have a master's degree in fitness management. When doing my master's degree, I had the option of actually working in the field. And so you're probably familiar with internships or mentorships. I was actually, through my school that I went to, it was non-traditional learning. I was able to do two mentorships, and these are very heavy and long and involved internships. I did a mentorship, at Siegfried Health Center, which is at the St. John's facility in Tulsa, Oklahoma. I got to work in cardiac rehab. That was my first introduction to working with seniors, and got to do quite a few things outside of just your normal exercise physiology class, anatomy, and what have you, which I'd already taken during my bachelor's degree. I also spent some time, as far as mentorship's concerned, at a little facility that you may have heard of called the Cooper Aerobic Research Facility in Dallas, Texas. Now, that was founded by a gentleman who happens to be my hero in the industry. His name is Dr. Kenneth Cooper. Dr. Cooper is a physician, MD. He also has a master's in public health. But in 1960, he was in the Air Force. He was a flight surgeon. That's near and dear to my heart because that's actually what my father was also. I have a client that's a flight surgeon too. But in 1960, physicians were telling their clients or their patients to that were over 40 years old, they started telling them to slow down, to take naps on a regular basis, told them to get first floor apartments, basically take it easy, go slower, and as far as I'm concerned, just kind of wait for the next chapter of your life. Dr. Cooper shocked everybody. 1960, he wrote a book that told everybody the exact opposite. Get up. Get moving. Go for a run on a regular basis. In fact, here's a workout plan to start running on a regular basis at the age of 40, if not over. I believe Dr. Cooper was the first person to recommend max testing for cardiac rehab patients over the age of 40. Well, he was called a quack. He was ridiculed until he started his study in 1969 on aging, and it's the longest running study on aging, and he proved everybody completely wrong. Dr. Cooper is the reason when he wrote that book, the name of the book was Aerobics, and some of you may have that book or have read that book. That word really wasn't in our lexicon prior to Dr. Cooper being writing that book. And he's also the father of fitness and the whole reason there's a multi-billion-dollar industry. He's also the reason why there's cardiac rehab or pretty much anything related to fitness. And I got some time. I was able to spend some time studying there. I have you've probably heard about personal training certifications, and there's a recent article in Men's Health that talks about there's somewhere between 500 and 600,000 different certifications out there. Well, it's an unlicensed field, so you have to be careful. Certifications are important, but there's only a few of them that really are the fit the bill. And the gold standard is there's several of them, the NSCA, NATA, and the one I have, which is the American College of Sport Medicine Health Fitness Instructor Certification. These are ones that require a bachelor's degree to actually sit for and test for. And in the education field, I'm also a program evaluator for the Accrediting Council of Independent Schools and Colleges, in that I go around to different schools and colleges that have diploma, bachelor, and master degree programs for fitness or exercise. And actually, we evaluate them to see whether or not they should either get their accreditation or keep their accreditation. Okay, that's my education background, but let's go to what I've actually done in the field. Well, I was a coach. A lot of trainers start that way. I actually coached gymnastics, track and field, swimming and diving in three different states with thousands of kids for 20 years. And that's where I got my first love of actually instructing any kind of health, fitness, or what have you. So, well, there's got to be a training background. As I said, that I've been a personal trainer for 28 years in the promo. Well, I have been. I've been a personal trainer. I've trained in Georgia, Oklahoma, Mississippi, and Alabama. In my personal training career, my youngest client was 7 years old. My most senior client was 96. I've worked with every aspect of health, fitness, and wellness. I've worked with stroke victims, rehab victims with rotator cuff injuries, knee injuries, back injuries, what have you. Even worked with people teaching them to walk again. I've also worked with athletes and helped some of them even go to the collegiate level and get scholarships in any aspect of that. Some people just wanting to make it to the next level. At the apex of my training career, and what I really thought I was going to be doing all my life was personal training. It's a business that I actually learned in my internship. At the apex of my career, I was training 42 clients, 2 to 3 days a week each. That's all one-on-one training. So that averages out to about 20 to 26 sessions per day. And maintained that routine 5 days a week for 7 years. Obviously, if I was doing it that much and training that much and missing time in the evening sometimes with my wife because I was doing all that, evidently it was a labor of love. And as luck would have it, and a few things came my way and changed, and support from clients allowed me to open my own facility in 2000 by the name of Personal Edge Fitness. Now, a little bit about our facility. Personal Edge Fitness is a personal and small group training facility. We use all aspects of fitness and sport to help each client attain their ultimate goal. We are very proud that we have the most qualified staff in the Southeast. All of our trainers have at least a degree in the field of either exercise science, exercise physiology, kinesiology, athletic training, and sport medicine. And those last two fields actually are rehab fields because we see a lot of rehab work. The reason I opened that facility was because my clientele was growing, and I realized also that it didn't matter how much I studied or what I liked or what my passion was, one head was not as good as a team. I would never be as good a trainer as my team is. And my team is everything. It's the whole reason that we are successful today. It's the whole reason we can work with the variety of clients that we do, and I think the world of them. Now, something I mentioned in that last part there was I talked about the fact that we use all aspects of fitness and sport to help each client attain their ultimate goal. Earlier, I mentioned number 10 as far as the lies were concerned the idea that everybody's looking for something different. And I say that's a lie. Now, that sounds, again, that sounds kind of crazy. I know it's kind of a bold statement, but it's true. Believe it or not, we are all looking for the same thing. I know that sounds crazy, and because I've worked with clients of all ages, I've got people coming in that have a shoulder injury. I got people coming. We get referrals from physical therapists. We get referrals from physicians. We have had an athlete come in that was in the seventh grade and just a phenom in soccer, and we ended up training that individual all the way up to when they graduated and ended up being a starter at the D1 level and played all 4 years. I have had people that have trouble walking. I have people, of course, 75% of the clients come to us for weight loss, and it's very common. We're in one of the most obese states in the nation, so therefore we see a lot of weight loss. We see 35% of our clientele is over the age of 65, and most of them are we run into injuries with them. We've run into them coming to us for just not feeling the way they used to feel and wanting to feel better. So helping them get in shape is a large part of what we do also. But it's interesting that I say that every single one of those people are looking for the same thing. I'm going to tell you some stories in a minute they give you a little bit of background, because to understand this concept, you're going to have some real life examples. So I'm going to talk to you a little bit about some stories of some clients that I have, and we're going to break down what they went through. We're going to go through what they came to us for, what their journey was, I guess you'd say, what their outcome was. And at the end of it, I'm going to show you through these examples and some others how everybody actually is looking for the same thing. Just a reminder, if you're interested in getting in touch with us on the show, you can reach us at 251-278-3343. That's 251-278-EDGE. You can hit me up on Twitter at @TeamPE. Or check on our Facebook page and look for Personal Edge Fitness. And also, that's our website, personaledgefitness.com. Now, if you get it, excuse me, I'm trying to work on keeping my hydration up and keeping my water up here. So every once in a while, it gets a little caught in my throat. But come back and join us in a few minutes. We're going to be taking a break. And I'm sorry, Charlie's teaching me everything here on making sure that I keep all the timing straight and what have you. So my mother told me for the longest time that I know proud of what I've done and she's proud of what I've done and I'm proud of what I've done, but not to talk about myself for a long time. So I'm sorry that I've talked about myself now for a few minutes, but at least maybe you'll understand that I do have the background to help you dispel these myths, help us get through some of these changes. And come back and I'll tell you about the first lie. Thank you.
Welcome back to the Personal Edge Fitness Show, helping you on the road to a healthy lifestyle. Here now, Garrett Williamson.
Okay, thank you for joining us again. All right, enough about me. It's time to get on to this, what I call the ultimate goal and what everybody is looking for. So I'm going to start off with a couple of stories about some clients. Now, the names have been changed to protect the innocent, I guess you'd say, but excuse me, these are actually people that I've worked with. I'm going to tell you about Mary. Mary was a client of mine that started with me in 99. She was actually somebody I knew of. We had crossed paths years ago. And she was she started with me, like I say, in 1999. She'd never worked out. She'd been somewhat active in her life, but really never exercised on a regular basis. She was, as long as I knew her, she was always overweight. That's something I definitely remembered about her. Very nice lady, but she was always overweight. And she came to me and talked about, you know, she really wanted to make some sort of a change. She was interested in losing weight. And again, she was in her 40s, and she started with me 2 days a week. Now, the timeline on this is very interesting. The reason I say that is this is back in, excuse me, I said 99. It's actually in, she started with me in 98. And the reason this is interesting about the timeline is that at that same time that she started with me, right around that same time, there was a rather famous talk show host who started a fitness program with a trainer. And I found this interesting because the parallels were very interesting. So anyway, Mary started with me just a couple of days a week doing some basic training. We started slow. And after about 30 days, we started to add a little bit more. She was coming in doing a cardio, doing resistance training with me, but we started to add a little more. She started to do a little bit more cardio after we got finished with our resistance part of the program. And the resistance, I'm sure most of you know, are lifting weights or doing band work or body weight work or what have you. After about another 25, 30 days, we started adding some extra days. She found out that she kind of liked to walk at home. Now, the whole time we're doing this, we're tracking her goals. We're tracking it step by step. We've set some kind of small goals as we go along and making steady, slow changes. We started to tweak her nutrition a little bit and make some changes there. Well, what Mary ended up doing was Mary ended up losing 45 pounds of fat. Not weight. There's a big difference there. I said earlier that weight is not a measurement of fitness. It's not. It's the measurement of the gravitational pull of the earth on your body. But fat is. Percent fat or body fat is definitely a measurement of fitness. And she had lost 45 pounds of fat in 6 months. Amazing thing about Mary is that she kept it off for 12 years. She kept it off. She's sad to say that she actually went through two bouts of cancer. And I'm sorry to say that Mary's no longer with us. But a huge success story in maintaining this change that she'd gone through. So that's Mary. She was 40 years old, like I say, and I told you her story. I'm going to tell you a little bit about Richard. Now, I'm going to tie all these together in a minute, so stick with me. Now, Richard's case is very, very different. Richard's, if my memory serves correct, he started with me in 99, and he was 22, I believe 22 years old. Now, he may correct me on that, but I believe 22 years old, he was not currently working out. He'd been active. He'd played sport, but he wasn't currently working out. He was a smoker. Richard was a unique individual in that he could pretty well pick Richard out because Richard was 6'8", 350 pounds. Now, if you don't know, that's a rather large individual. So the pictures of us side by side were always kind of funny. So Richard started working out with me 3 days a week, started going into good resistance training and strength training, what have you, and we were kind of tracking him. And something amazing happened is that Richard lost 50 pounds of fat and gained 50 pounds of muscle, and he did it in 3 months. Now, what's amazing about that is, as you can tell, he didn't change a single pound of weight. He looked drastically different, and the reason being is that, you know, fat, 5 pounds of fat looks like a football, and 5 pounds of muscle looks about like a baseball, so the size was very different. But even though he weighed the same, he was in far better shape. Richard did something kind of interesting. At that same time, there was a local university that happened to start a club football team. And Richard just wandered out on the field one day and just stood next to the coaches, kind of watching what was going on. One of the coaches turned around and started yelling at Richard. Why was he not dressed out? He told him he should be dressed out by this time. He told him the other day that he was supposed to be dressed out on time, and yelling and screaming. Richard started laughing. He looked at the coach and said, "I don't play on this team." And he said, "Well, why don't you? You're bigger than any guy out here." So, needless to say, within, I think, hours, Richard was in a uniform and started practicing with the team. And if memory serves correct, in the second half of the first game, he went in and he basically started every game after that for the club team, even injured. He started every single game. Richard had never played organized football. He played it in maybe park leagues, but he didn't play it in high school. And he was pretty good. In fact, he was contacted by, after the second or third game, he was contacted by a little organization called the New Orleans Saints and invited to a tryout. And he ended up making it to the second round. To tell you this, to give you some numbers on this guy, to let you know what kind of shape he was in, he at that first tryout, he ran somewhere in the fives on a 40, and he did it in basketball shoes. Now, 6'8", 350, running a five, somewhere in the fives for 40 yards is pretty impressive. But he didn't go to the second work, to the second tryout. He chose not to go. And that sounds, I know, crazy to a lot of you, but it also goes to part of my story and ties into the ultimate goal. The last one I'll tell you about is Louise. Louise was 60 years old, never worked out before, grandmother. She talked to me about losing weight and what have you, and very reluctant to talk to me about fitness, period. And I find that a lot with our senior clientele, especially somebody that hasn't worked out before, because it can be quite intimidating to call and speak to a trainer, especially if you've never exercised before. It can be intimidating just to make that phone call. And so she was rather timid, and we talked for a while, and I could tell that she was uncomfortable. But she listed a few different physical goals that she was interested in, but I could tell that we weren't really getting to the ultimate goal. That we were basically hitting around it. And what she ended up telling me is actually in that phone call, she told me something at the very end of it, which is rare that I hear from a client, because she actually stated what her real goal was. And that was surprising to me, because it's the first client I think that ever told me what their real goal was in the first conversation. Well, she ended up losing 35 pounds, and she succeeded in attaining her goal. And what her goal was, believe it or not, she said originally when she was talking to me, I said she set some physical goals. But she told me, finally stopping the conversation, she says, "You know what? The reason I'm calling you is that I'm a grandmother, and I have several granddaughters, and I love them to death. But I just had a grandson, and the other day I wasn't able to get on the floor and play with him. And that's the whole reason that was her ultimate goal. It wasn't a number, wasn't a weight, wasn't a strength. She could care less about exercise. She wanted to be able to get on the floor and play with her grandson. That was her ultimate goal. To finish telling you about the story about Richard and why he didn't go to the second tryout, well, he knew he'd made it. He knew that he was going to be on the team. He knew he could play at that level. But he had a child on the way. And if you see Richard now, he's an extremely successful businessman, has a lovely wife, beautiful daughter. I think they're traveling at this moment. But he has this incredible memory of making that team and making those changes in his life. And the lady I told you about first said it to me in the most defining way. When we hit that six-month period and she lost, when Mary hit that six-month period and she lost 45 pounds of fat, she walked in my office one day and she said, "You know what? This is it. This is where I want to be." Now, if you looked at her, you could tell that she could stand to lose a few more pounds or what have you, but she was in great shape. She felt great. But she knew exactly how much she was working out. She knew exactly the changes that she had made in her nutrition. She knew exactly the lifestyle she was in. And she said, "Garrett, this is just where I want to stay." They had reached what I call their level of wellness. Now, that's the ultimate goal for everyone, is reaching your level of wellness. Now, the definition I use for that is a level of wellness is a position of balance on a personal scale of complete physical, mental, and social well-being. That's what everybody is after. That's what everybody is looking for, whether it's a scholarship, whether it's getting your shoulder ready or what have you. The ultimate goal for everyone is seeking their own level of wellness. That's what everybody comes to us for, and that's where we try to help get everybody get to. Well, I'm going to talk to you about this today. I'm going to tell you a little bit more about what level of wellness is, get a little deeper into that, because it sounds like something very, very, very simple. But it's actually more complex than you think, and it's difficult to put your finger on it. I've got clients that I've worked with that would have a difficult time defining their level of wellness. What I'm going to do is I'm going to break that down for you, explain that fully, and then we're actually going to tell you how to go about finding your own level of wellness, how we can put you on this journey to find that ultimate goal, because we're all seeking it. This is a very personal decision. It can't be guessed at. It can't be deduced from a simple self-analysis. But there are steps that you can take to get yourself to that level of wellness. Just to remind you, you're listening to the Personal Edge Fitness Show. This is Garrett Williamson, your host, and I'm enjoying talking to you a lot. I hope you come back and listen to hear the steps to attain these goals. Remember, you can reach us at our phone number is 251-278-3343. That's 251-278-EDGE. Again, it's a voicemail. Leave a message. Leave your name, where you're calling from, your comments or questions. I look forward to getting back in touch with you. So also contact us via email and our website. Stay tuned for more telling you about how to get your own level of wellness.
Welcome back to the Personal Edge Fitness Show, helping you on the road to a healthy lifestyle. Here now, Garrett Williamson.
All right, thank you so much for joining us again. We're back to what we were talking about a minute ago. We were talking about level of wellness. I was introducing that term and something that we strive to reach with all of our clients. And actually, no matter what you're doing in your health and fitness program, that is that's really what you're looking for. Let's get a little more description about what level of wellness is. Now, the definition I give for that is a position of balance on a personal scale of complete physical, mental, and social well-being. Now, you have to take into consideration quantity, extent, quality, desired physical exertion of where you want to live. As far as the exercise concern, exercise part of that, it's easy enough to throw out exercise goals and say, you know, I want to do a 5K, I want to do a triathlon, what have you. I want to walk around the block, doesn't matter. But where do you want to live? You know, I'm a Team USA multi-sport competitor. I actually race for Team USA. I've done 8 world championships in all aspects of sprint triathlon, aquathlon, and aquabike. One of the questions I get quite often is, are you ever going to do an Ironman? And right now I tell people no, and I know that sounds strange. I have nothing against an Ironman. I think it's a fantastic race. I happen to have somebody on my staff that's training for one right now. And could I do one? Sure, I'm sure I could. But I really don't want that lifestyle. That's not not the level of training that I want, not how I want to live. It's not my level of wellness. You have to consider the realized nutritional needs you require for whatever that level of wellness is. And do you want to make those changes? Do you want to live there? Not just make those changes, but actually live there. And you also have to accept any prior stated shortcomings and realistically decide where you want to live. Now, level of wellness is a personal decision. It cannot be guessed at or deduced from a simple self-analysis or even a trainer design. It's not something that a client calls up to me and in 10 minutes I can tell them what their level of wellness is. It's usually a journey. It only truly becomes you when you actually live it, when you actually hit it. A person may claim to want to lose 40 pounds, but do they know the lifestyle that is required to actually live 40 pounds lighter? It's why a lot of people you see go into diet programs and they change their food temporarily and lose a lot of weight, but they have no idea what it takes to stay there, to live there, or whether or not they actually want to live there. A person may want to race in an Ironman, but do they want that really, want that lifestyle? Well, let's get a little more descriptive about level of wellness. It's basically, there's 5 steps to attaining, to starting your journey for finding your level of wellness. And the first one we talk about is actually finding your why. Now, what I mean by that, and you've probably heard that term a lot in business and what have you, is a popular, I don't know if this is just legend or maybe it actually happened, but I know this idea was true. In the 60s, it was said that a NASA janitor, when he was sweeping the floor, was asked, "What are you doing?" And his response is, "I'm trying to put a man on the moon." Now, I know it sounds crazy. He didn't say, I'm sweeping the floor. He didn't even say that I'm trying to build a better rocket. He said, "I'm trying to put a man on the moon." Because that was NASA's entire mantra. They wanted everybody in the entire facility, everybody that worked there, to realize their ultimate goal, which is putting a man on the moon. And if you think about it, you're a janitor and you're taking out trash at NASA. How motivated would you be if you really truly believed everything that you did was helping to put a man on the moon? You'd be far more motivated, far more passionate. Let's go back to my examples I told you earlier. What is the mental, when we're finding the why, what we're actually searching for is the mental behind the physical. Mary, that I was telling you about, that lost 45 pounds of fat in 6 months. Mary, what she really wanted more than anything, she wanted to be comfortable in her body. We didn't know what number that was. We didn't know it till we hit it. But when she realized it, she got there. She knew it. She told me, "Hey, this is where I want to live." Body comfort was what she was looking for. That was her level of wellness. Richard, a gentleman who was 6'8", 350, lost a lot of weight, I don't even know if he had a clue that the university was going to be putting together a club football team. He just knew that he wasn't happy where he was. And so we went on that journey. We started making those small changes, trying to find his level of wellness. And we found out that one of the biggest parts of it was he wanted to know that he was an athlete. That he really, people had told him he was big in his life and whatever, and man, you'd be really good at football and what have you. And he proved it. He proved it to himself. And that was his level of wellness. Louise, I was talking to you about early, very clear. She didn't want to lose weight. She didn't want to get stronger. She wasn't even interested in exercise. She wanted to be able. That was her why. That was her level of wellness. So when you're looking at trying to figure out what this is, and you may have a rotator cuff injury. I keep talking about that because that's one of the most common injuries we see. But there's plenty of people walking around that are either overweight. There's plenty of people walking around with rotator cuff injuries. There's plenty of people walking around with different fitness and nutritional problems, needs, what have you, that don't have any concern for doing anything about it. The people that come and contact us or get involved in a program like that, they have a why. Speaking to a gentleman recently, they had a rotator cuff problem, and golf kept coming up over and over and over. Can't play golf. It's hard, my golf game. I can't. Well, let me ask you something. Was he really concerned about that rotator cuff, or was he really concerned about getting back to playing golf? Obviously, that's what his why was. So don't fixate on a physical, especially a number. We're not passionate about numbers. People come in and say, I want to lose 20 pounds. I want to lose 15 pounds. I want to bench press 135, whatever, 200, 210. I got to throw some big numbers out there also. But we're not passionate about numbers. Folks, what we're passionate about feeling better about being ourselves. And that's what we're all after. Even if there's somebody training for a scholarship, and they may actually enjoy exercise, but what they're really looking forward to is that level of wellness is they want to attain that scholarship. They want to go to that next level. So when you're thinking about your own fitness program, find that why. Number two is something that my wife tells me pretty much on a regular basis. Sometimes I question why she maybe doesn't say it on a daily basis, and that is, Garrett, you really need to seek professional help. So I'm not sure that I'm talking about she's talking about the same thing that I'm talking about here. But yeah, seek professional help. The reason I say that, of course, I do this for a living, and I've been a personal trainer for 28 years. But basically, you want some help along the way. It's hard to address exactly what your level of wellness is. And if you're sitting at home, you're listening to this, and gosh, I have no clue what my level of wellness is. I don't know. Yeah, it's difficult, and usually it's a journey to get there. But if you have somebody that is well equipped in that area, whether it's nutrition or fitness, or even somebody to be accountable to, even if it's a family member. Hey, look, I want to make some changes. I'm not really sure where it is, but I want you to help me, kind of guide me, help me have somebody to be accountable for. We say that at our facility, that we have the most qualified staff in the Southeast, but the biggest thing we sell is accountability. That helps you a lot. So they'll help us. A professional can also help you, give you structure to getting to the right steps to actually attain that level of wellness. Number three is combine what you like with what you need. Now, a lot of people ask us what I call the wrong question in health and fitness. They ask us, they tend to ask us, what's the best exercise? Well, that's the wrong question. The reason being is the answer to that question always is, it's what you do. The exercise that you do is the best exercise. So if you like walking, hey, walking's something you ought to do. If you like swimming's something you ought to do. If it's weight training, whatever it is, gardening, it doesn't matter as long as you're active. But combine with what you like, with what you need, and start developing a program that way. Number four, losing my numbers here. Number four is set small, attainable goals. And when you want to do that, you may not know where your level of wellness is, but you know some of the changes that you want to make. So set some small, very attainable goals and reward yourself when you hit them. Now, a goal is a dream if it doesn't have a timeline. And so you need some sort of a timeline, some sort of a way to reassess and make sure that you're going the right way. Plus, it's very, very much positive reinforcement of attaining your level of wellness. And the last one is, know you're there. Like Mary knew, she knew she had hit there. She knew exactly what she was doing with her program, her health, fitness, and nutrition. She knew the time that it took, and she had it compartmentalized. You want to take those things that you're doing, the changes that you've made, once you've hit that level of wellness, and you want to write them down. You want to make sure you're checking them. Make sure that you're doing them. Make sure you're helping yourself develop that level of wellness and that habit to maintain that the rest of your life. Folks, everybody has a level of wellness out there. You may think that you don't, but the challenge that we have is, like Robert Lipsight said in his book, The Contender, everybody wants to be a champion, but very few people want to be a contender. In order to be a champion, you have to want to be a contender. Don't be afraid to take that first step. Look at these ideas I've given you, these five different steps. Put them into practice for your own self, and go for your level of wellness. Folks, I sure appreciate you joining me today. This has been a lot of fun. If you have any questions, don't hesitate to contact us at our phone number, which is 251-278-3343. Leave a message for us there. Contact us via email, garrett@personaledgefitness.com. But most importantly, I want you to join us next week when we're going to address this idea of balance and why I think people think that they lose balance with age. It's absolutely not true. I don't want anybody believing it. Come back and see us. Come back and listen to us at FM Talk 106.5 next week. I'm Garrett Williamson. Live well.
This has been the Personal Edge Fitness Show, helping you live a successful lifestyle. Continue the journey next Tuesday at 6, when Garrett Williamson brings you another edition of the Personal Edge Fitness Show on FM Talk 106.5.